Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to come together again this morning. We pray that you would speak to our hearts. Assist us, O Lord, so that in this service we give you and you alone the praise. We ask now that you would speak to us through your word and through our living word, Jesus Christ. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Our text for this morning is meditation. It's from the letter Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 8. These words: For formerly you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In this section of Scripture, we're confronted with the subject of light and darkness. Now, we have many different ways of defining these two terms. For example, we have light on in here this morning. We go out in the evening and we leave the light on for when we return. Or we turn the car lights on to lighten our way. And then there's the opposite of light, darkness. Webster defines darkness this way: devoid or partially devoid light, not receiving, reflecting, transmitting light. These are some of the definitions that we have for light and darkness. But this isn't the type of light, nor the type of darkness to which our text speaks. The darkness that Paul is speaking about is a spiritual darkness, a darkness which the Scriptures call sin. Ecclesiastes tells us that the fool walks in darkness. Only a few places does God ever call a man a fool. And he says, if you're not in the light, the true light that leads to eternal life, you're a fool. Now, you and I were once in darkness. We were fooled. We were fooled by the prince of darkness, Satan himself. But notice I said once, because we're in it no longer. Paul says, for you were formerly darkness, but now, right now, you're light in the Lord. How is it then that we become light? It's not anything that we do. Rather, it's as John tells us in his epistle. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. God claimed us as his child in baptism, and he has called us out of darkness through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has laid on him, as it were, the darkness of us all. In Romans 8:32, we're told that God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. And if I don't leave any message behind this morning, I want to leave the message ringing in your ears. God loves you. Look up there at that banner. For God so loved. No matter where you are, what you do, or how deep in sin you might go, you cannot escape the love of God. He loves you so much that he sent his Son to bleed and die on that cross. And from the cross, God is saying to you, I love you. I love you. I love you. And Christ not only died, but he rose again. He is living. And it's because he is living that we're gathered together this morning. Why, it's no wonder that John, in his gospel, underlines the fact that the light shines in the darkness, and even the darkness has not overcome it. And then Paul says to us, walk as children of light. Christ declares, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In our gospel reading, Jesus said to his disciples, follow me. And the scriptures tell us that they immediately left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Christ says to you, whether you are a professor or a student, follow me. Follow me. I'll be your life. I have promised to lead you. He's speaking to you personally. He's on a one-to-one with you. And your first concern has to be with yourself. You have to be his follower before you can effectively function as his instrument in leading others to him. The disciple Peter found this out the hard way. In the 21st chapter of John's Gospel, we're told that Peter is more concerned about his neighbor's discipleship than he is his very own. Peter asked Jesus, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus responds to him, what is that to you? You follow me. Also in John's Gospel, Jesus says, while you have the light, believe in the light. While you have the light suggests that there may come a time when it will be impossible to enjoy the light. Now, from our vantage point in history, we know that Jesus was referring to his death on the cross. But the warning still holds true. For though Christ is still present in the world in spirit, the blindness caused by persistent unbelief and the possibility of death coming before the light has entered a person's life is something that we all need to take into account. While you have the light, believe in the light. And that's the reason it is so encouraging to all of us when our Lord confronts us with his word and sacrament. He is constantly feeding us, supplying, sustaining, nourishing us by these means of grace. Now granted, Christ says, I am the light of the world. But he also said something else. In the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and give praise to your Father who is in heaven. Peter tells us, you are chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In closing, I would like to read our text again. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. My prayer for each of us is that by God's grace, we may always be found walking in the light of Christ. For we ask it in his name. Amen.